Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. Welcome to our service of worship on this fifth Sunday in Lent. Our homilist today is Bishop Jean. And now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. We thank you, O God, that you have again brought us together to praise you for your goodness and to ask your blessing. Give us grace to see your hand in the week that is past and your purpose in the week to come. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Dear friends in Christ, as we turn our hearts and minds to worship Almighty God, let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Merciful God, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for Sunday in Lent. Most merciful God, by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you created humanity anew. May the power of his victorious cross transform those who turn to him in faith, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
A reading from the book Isaiah, chapter 43, beginning at the 16th verse. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lay down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched with like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm appointed between the lections is Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap and shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, tearing their sheaves. Praise to you, God of our salvation. Your generous gifts surpass all that we can ask or imagine. You have delivered us from the exile of sin and restored us to new life in Jesus Christ our Savior. Glory and honor and praise to you forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, beginning with the fourth verse. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. If somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straying forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord, open our hearts to your love. Love. Have you ever been in love? It's one of the pinnacles of human life, to fall in love with that one with whom you want to live forever. How wonderful it is to sit with the loved one, watching the sky or enjoying the view, the conversations you share, the plans for the future, the glimpses into your loved one's heart and soul. These are precious indeed. Oh, the goodbyes, the reluctance you feel as you watch the car drive away, the gut-wrenching agony of goodbyes you don't want to say. We laugh about saying goodbye on the telephone. You hang up. No, you first. Well, on three together. And then neither of you hang up at all because we cannot bear to be separated. Another kind of love is that of a dear friend. Like romantic lovers, friends also enjoy time together and may find it hard to end a happy visit. There's so much to say, so much fun to have together, that it's hard to say goodbye. We love our friends who bring so much happiness into our lives and help, of course. Friends are quick to reach out when we have a need. We say thank you, of course, but occasionally we feel a gratitude that no thank you can express.
A long time ago, I had an unexpected financial need, and a dear friend hearing of it stepped up. Pay me when you can, no rush. Desperate. And suddenly, not only was my need met, but I was free from the crushing burden of repayment until I could comfortably do so. Gratitude doesn't begin to describe my response to that gift. The money was repaid, but the debt? Never. I have never forgotten it. I never will. And you can bet that if I can help that friend, I will do so instantly. When a friend helps you in such a time of crisis, the love we feel for that friend is colored by the intense gratitude we feel. Like romantic love, our love is colored by a depth of feeling that changes our lives, creating such a deep bond of support that we cannot imagine ever turning away from that beloved friend. What would you do for someone you love? Maybe the better question is, what wouldn't you do for someone you love so wholeheartedly with the depth of commitment that is sure and dependable? In today's gospel, we see Jesus coming to Bethany, where his good friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived. Now, you may remember Lazarus, the friend Jesus raised from the dead. I thought my friends lending me some money was a huge gift, and it was. But raising your beloved brother from the dead? After 4 days in the tomb? All hope was gone till Jesus showed up. And with a few words of a prayer, he called Lazarus forth. And lo, Lazarus stumbled from the tomb still wearing the grave cloths. They had loved Jesus before. But can you imagine how his action of saving Lazarus from death created an extraordinary depth of love and devotion and dedication to Jesus in the hearts of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus? It explains the fervor with which Mary greeted him. She touched his feet, something that was considered demeaning in the extreme, something for only a lowly servant to do. Not only did she touch them, she anointed them with costly perfume and dried them with her hair. You can imagine the shock and disapproval of her actions by the others there, particularly Judas, who wanted the money the perfume could bring not for the poor, but for himself. And he objected loudly. Jesus, in defending her use of that expensive fragrance, gives a hint of his coming death. He tells him that Mary has gotten the perfume for his burial and excuses the cost, saying, "You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." And sure enough, not long afterward, Jesus was himself laid in a tomb, no longer walking among them. But it isn't true that we do not always have Jesus. We have him when two or three gather in his name. We have him when we ask his presence. We have him in the sacraments. He's always there, waiting to be invited into our lives. As a little one, I was taught that God is everywhere. So for me, God became like air. But we don't spend much time thinking about air, do we? If we have a cold or an illness that impairs our breathing, we think about the discomfort of struggling for air and we long to breathe freely. But air is one of those things that is so present to us that normally we forget about it. Just this week, I was reading a book, a novel about a group of people who find Christ. The writer detailed what nominal Christians they were, Christians in name and mild intention, but far too busy to live the Christian life of worship, service, and prayer. They didn't really love Jesus. They didn't really know him. It led me to a real self-examination, and I admit I came up short. Oh, for all the right reasons, you know. It isn't as though I'm gambling or reading inappropriate material or getting drunk or any of the other sins that sadly did not shock the characters in the book, like skipping a prayer meeting. I'm just busy or not feeling well or tired or juggling duties, like most people, I expect. And this is a dilemma for us who proclaim ourselves to be Christian, with the jobs and tasks of each day, the demands and needs of others in our lives, the obligations of our work, the caretaking of our homes and family and pets and possessions, the shoveling the snow and raking the leaves, planting the garden, paying the bills, repairing what needs fixing. Somehow, in the midst of all that, Jesus and worship and prayer can get left out. We don't intend to do so. But life is full of so many things. Encounters with God become rather like a blooming lilac a street over. Every now and then we catch its perfume and smile. And in the very next second, the fragrance is gone, and we get back to sweeping the veranda for summertime relaxation. Every year around this time, a popular coffee shop runs a promotion, which every cup of coffee has a printed code. Depending on the code, a buyer might win a small prize, one of several very expensive prizes, or nothing at all. We have certainly tried our luck buying coffees there more often during the promotion than at other times. Like so many others, we make time for a drive through the coffee line on the chance that we might get lucky, and we face ridiculously long lines for the privilege of winning, well, actually, usually nothing. We make time for so many things that mean little, if anything. A chance for a free donut or coffee, a TV show we enjoy and faithfully record on the PVR, things that don't satisfy us as much as they simply distract us. Things that don't help us to grow, that don't make our lives any better, that don't create the changes we long to see. When the coffee is gone or the show has ended, we're back where we started, no further along. Jesus is certainly with us, but his presence is spiritual, unseen. His call to us is silent to our ears. Knowing he's available to us whenever we like makes it easy to postpone our prayer or worship. And knowing that he's quick to forgive makes it even easier. Now, if every time you went to worship, you got a chance on $1 million, our churches would be as busy as our coffee shops. The irony is that every time we worship, we get something a lot more valuable than dollars. The gifts that Jesus gives us are spiritually invaluable, but it's a wealth we can't recognize with our human eyes, so they are easy to overlook. When that happens, church becomes a chore. Reading the scripture seems boring. Prayer is reduced to a quick formula before we go to sleep. No wonder the churches are empty when we who follow Christ can lose sight of him so easily during our busy days. We're coming to the end of the season of Lent. It's a time to examine ourselves and do penance. But I want to invite you to do the opposite. Instead of examining ourselves, let's examine what Jesus does. Spend our days with him. Instead of penance, let us rejoice that we can walk with him by our side. How happily he changes our lives. In hard times, he is our strength. He gives us courage to go on. And when our hearts are heavy, he consoles us with utmost tenderness. In our happy times, he increases our joy and opens our eyes to the goodness of life and the delight of being loved. From him, we receive blessings too numerous to count. Our life itself and the joy of knowing that our life continues on to an eternity with God in heaven. Everything we have comes from God through Christ. Think on it. How do we treasure the incomparable gifts of God through Jesus, his Son? How precious they are if we but knew. How devoted we would be if we only understood. Tendency to think of worship and prayer and spiritual reading as things we ought to do, things we should do. When we phrase them that way, we reduce them to chores we set ourselves up for human resistance. We think, oh, I forgot to read my Bible. Well, I'll read it tomorrow. We turn them into duties, and that drains the life right out of them. We have it backwards. It isn't so much that we have to do these things, but we get to do them. We get to read Scripture, to worship God, to receive Jesus in Holy Eucharist. We're able to learn about God and what is important from God Himself through the words of His Son in the Scripture. We have the amazing ability to communicate with Almighty God in prayer, to be heard by God Himself. We're able to be one with Jesus in Holy Communion. These are not duties, but amazing privileges. Mary understood. That's why she rushed to His side. That's why she was quick to anoint His feet, quick to spend everything she had to honor Him, willing to wipe His feet with her hair. Mary knew how precious was time with Jesus. She knew how worthy He was of all praise, all devotion, all honor. She knew. And so, she loved Him fiercely. We're preparing for Easter, getting ready to celebrate the resurrection, when Jesus conquered death forever. Let us look at our lives. Are we living a life that is dead to spirit? A life so filled with worldly concerns that there's little time for spiritual realities? Has our love for Jesus grown lukewarm? Jesus has redeemed us, and He is waiting to redeem us every moment from our cares and the struggles of our life on earth. What better return can we make for His grace and love than to open our hearts and our lives to Him? Let us make more room for Jesus in our day, coming to know Him ever more deeply in Scripture and in prayer. Let us come to His table faithfully, adoring the One who died to save us. Let us make Him truly the Lord of our lives, giving Him our very selves, heart and soul. Let us rekindle our love for Him, looking for Him minute by minute each day, thanking Him endlessly for His love and mercy, laying our fears and needs and worries at His feet. It's never too late to begin. Start today, now, this moment. And then watch your life change. See how quickly He comes to help and protect you. Feel His joy filling your heart. Find the peace that only He can give. There is nothing on earth more worthwhile to seek than Jesus. And He is at your side this moment, extending His hand to you. Oh, take it, my friend, and receive what your heart has longed always to find. God be all praise and glory. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. United by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted, songs of praise are being offered, bread and wine is being blessed to nurture God's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that, too, are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, You call us to follow You. We love You above all things, and we give thanks that You transform our hearts with Your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to You in this time of worship and each moment of the day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by Your love, gifted by Your grace, upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister, and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, be with you and everyone whom you love this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world rejoicing in the power of Spirit.
Thanks be to God. Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.